Good morning. I am thankful for our team. And, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes we have those, in the natural, it doesn't feel like the right timing, but you know, in God, it's the right timing. So I knew I was supposed to preach for the next, starting this week and the next 4 weeks on Holy Spirit. And it just fell on a youth retreat weekend, and my sister came in town the last weekend, and I had a phone call at midnight, you know, problem solving for the next hour till 1 a.m. And I just said, Holy Spirit, I'm glad I'm just teaching on you, because we're just going to exemplify what it means to just rest in Him and let Him be your strength, right? So to God, all be the glory, right? Because this is a Holy Spirit weekend and a Holy Spirit service. And for that reason, by the way, when we say Holy Spirit comes, you know, He's within you, and it's really more just releasing Him out of you. How many people know that? We don't have to beg for Him to come down from heaven, because He's actually here. He came down 2,000 years ago. The Lord released Him, and He dwells in you. So I want you to adjust your mindset when you say, Holy Spirit, come. Just like, come out. Let Him out. So right now, you're going to just receive that extra strength with me and clarity and focus. Amen. So Father God, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. You're our strengthener. You're our comforter. You're our advocate. You go before us. You prepare a way. And Lord God, just like John the Baptist said, prepare the way of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we would just like to prepare the way for what you want to do in our church, in our lives, in York County, and our nation. And it starts with us. So we release you. Have your way in us. And we want all of you that we can get. We pray, Lord God, you lead and guide this time we set aside to grow in you and to lean on each other. We thank you for peace in the kids and youth classes today, Lord, a Holy Spirit of just comfort, joy, and peace, Lord God. And we just thank you, not by our might, but by your Spirit. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, you guys, I am doing, this is kind of like my, what I want to call intro. This is a way to get everyone on the same page. And I'm going to give you some really good tools today to explain to friends, families, and neighbors who Holy Spirit is. Because I'll be real with you, He is probably the most misunderstood person in the church. And a lot of it's just a lack of, number one, reading our Bible. Dig into the book of Acts this month. It's going to be powerful. Acts and Corinthians. Go for it. And the other thing is sometimes we misrepresent Him. But that's okay. Because, you know, like when a little kid does something funny, the father says, good job. You know, like we're gonna let him go. So let me see. I'm rambling here. I am focused in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Write down these chapters to study this week. Write down John chapter 16 and John chapter 14. Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 8. And this is kind of the chunk of where we're going to go today. The title of my message, if you're a note taker, take notes. If not, check it out online, is Holy Spirit Part 1, Getting to Know His Heart. Getting to know His heart. Because oftentimes we work backwards and we try to understand what He does instead of His heart and His ways. You know, they talk about Moses kind of, the Lord revealed His heart, His ways, not just the acts that He did. So we're going to start with His heart. Amen. So, as I drink water here, go ahead and open up to John chapter 16. And while you're getting there, I want to get you guys thinking. How many of you like what-if scenarios? What if? So the great thing is, if you've ever done this with people, it's like, what if? It kind of opens your mind and your brain to thinking outside the box. And today is a think outside your box day. So what if you had a good father? How many people know that maybe your natural father is limited sometimes based on things that happened to them, and they did the best they could? But did you know, no matter what your experience was like with your natural father, you have a good, good father in heaven. Amen. Amen? So what if, I want you to picture your good, good father in heaven, who's absolutely perfect. What if He wanted to give you the best Christmas gift ever? I want you to think about this little sparkly box here. Would you say yes? Or would you say, let me think about that. I just want to think about it some more. I'm not really sure I'm ready to accept that gift. But what if He says, you know, it's a free gift, and I'm a good father, and I just want you to have and experience all that I have for you. And all you have to do is ask and accept it. How many know salvation's like that? Real easy. So is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Same thing. But what if you said thanks, but do I have to open it? You know, this little box lid is closed right now. But do I have to open the box? Maybe I'm not really ready. I'm not sure if I can handle what's in the box. I mean, it could be really powerful. And the packaging is just so mystical and sparkly and shiny.
And what if it makes me weird? I'm not trying to avoid extra weird. I'm already a Trekkie. Like, you know, I don't know, need any extra help. But what if you did decide to open it? What if you did decide to pop the top of this little box here? But what if you only did it just one time on Christmas Day? You pop the lid off, you experienced and everything that God had for you in the box because everybody else was doing it. Safety in numbers, right? And then after Christmas Day, you put the lid back on and stuck it back under the tree and never used it ever again. What if you open it up, pop the lid, once a year? The mood music was right, man. I mean, the drummer was on point. Played my jam worship song set, and you know, everybody's up front, and you know, I don't know, my favorite person's here, my best friend, and we're just gonna get that little box out again because it felt good and I wasn't tired, and my spouse and I didn't fight on the way to church. So I am feeling open up the box today. Sound familiar to any of us? All right, so we're talking about Holy Spirit today, and sadly, this is how we treat Him. Now, this is an object. Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not an object. He's not even a power. He is a person. So in my analogy, when I talk about God in the box, I don't want you to think of an experience, because that's what we do in the church. We compartmentalize Him. We box Him as an emotional experience or a movement. The concept of revival, when actually He is one of the most tender, compassionate, loving. He just wants, he's like a deep relationship. He just wants to reveal Himself to you. That's who He is as a person. We're going to really talk about His character, His nature, His personality, and how He flows. But as I said before, He is probably one of the most ignored persons in the church. And we time to keep Him in the box, because where is the Holy Spirit right now? In us. In us. So this is my challenge to all of us today, including myself, that it is it's time to release Him more. Why do we need to release Him more out of us in our lives and in our churches and our homes and our places of business? Oh. All right, everybody go like this. Just snap, because clapping. We're going to snap. Miss Denise hit it right now. You just got to my last page. Praise God. Holy Spirit goes before us, right? And prepares a way. That's it. He empowers us to reach others because His heart, more than anything in the world, beats for lost and broken people. So now that we know where we're going, let's build on it. Amen? So without the continual infilling, overflowing reality of God in our life, what is church like? It's dry. Right? Kind of feels like a formula, kind of feels like a script. It's a service order. Gets monotonous, mundane, and it gets boring. Everybody go, boring. That's when we have people falling asleep in church, and it's not just because they're up all night, you know, because they have a new baby, but it gets that way. Life and ministry without the continual infilling and overflowing of the Holy Spirit is draining. It's wearisome, and we burn out. How do I know that we are not in the continual inflowing of the Holy Spirit? To be honest with you, every time you talk to a person, you ask how they're doing, and their answer is, I'm tired. I have to work on that. We'll have what we say, but really a lot of it is just not tapping into Him. Do you know, tired is not based on if you had 4 hours of sleep that night. Because how many of you got kids? That is like your everyday for 10 years for some of you guys, right? But it's our state of mind and spirit. And He supercharges us. So without the free-flowing, continual infilling, overflowing of the Holy Spirit, we become just another religious institution. We become another do-gooder society. Just taking on one more social justice project, helping people because we sleep better at night. What separates us from them? Something to think about. And that's why, to be honest with you, this is why a whole generation has left church. And when I say generation, I'm 37 years old. It's not my generation. It is this generation. We have a couple what we call generations represented. But let me just say, people that are walking the face of the earth today right now that have not experienced, I think the last major move revival was during the 1970s. It was called the Jesus Movement. What a great movement to call it. Jesus. Jesus broke out of this. How many people were a part of the Jesus Movement in the 1970s? My whole family was birthed out of it. There was a revival in Catholic churches, Methodist churches, Lutheran churches. They're all coming together, and they wanted all of God that they could get. and God burst out of this box over here. Now, if you were not a part of that movement, but I've heard stories, I'll be real with you. We kind of put God in the box after that, and they left church. How many people have family members and friends you love dearly? And, you know, they have an honor for God in their heart, but they've just don't see the point of going to church anymore, right? My generation, they don't come back till they start having kids, and the kids start, you know, saying, God, I mean, Mom, what's God like? And then they start asking other awkward questions, and they're like, go ask the youth pastor. We'll take them to church. and this is why I came back to him. I kind of got to this point growing up where I went, if this is all there is to church, I'm out. Never left Jesus. Never really left Holy Spirit, but I just kind of started feeling like it was just a religious institution. I wasn't really sensing this fresh flow, this reality of God. And I'm not talking signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm just talking reality in here. And I came right back, though, because I did a lot of searching. And I realized I needed him, number one, to function in life. How many people need him just to get out of bed in the morning? My sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, that empty, aching, scratching. Anybody know that empty, aching, scratching, meh, edginess that comes in? We, even as Christians, when we're not walking tightly with the Lord, and we don't have that continual flowing through us, we get that sense of that void coming back. You know, we talk about salvation, you know, he does fill us, but unless you're spending time with him, you will still be searching for fulfillment in other people, places, and things. And this is where the continual infilling of the Holy Spirit fills us all in all, it says in Ephesians. He fills every part of you. Without going into it, I probably have experienced the most painful 2 years of my life. It was harder than watching my dad die. We don't need to talk about it. But he fills me all in all. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. He fills me all in all. He comforts. He guides. He strengthens. How many people have been through situations like that where he filled you all in all, and supernaturally, we rose up on eagle's wings and we soared. We went through the fire. We didn't get burned. We walked through water. We didn't drown. Why? Because we stuck with him and he stuck with us. But what makes that process where he fills all in all is letting him flow and fill and overflow. So this is not just another message to me. This is what saved my life. Amen. I found more than I could ever ask for when I returned back to him. I found freedom, I found fulfillment, I found healing, and I found enough to overflow to reach my friends, to reach my family, and reach a generation. And that's why we need him out of the box in our lives. So we're going to ask three questions today, and we're going to answer those three questions. How to get to know the Holy Spirit's heart? It's like in any relationship process. Do you know you can go on dates over and over again, not ask the right questions, and really not get to know the person? You just get wrapped up in the warm, fuzzy tinglies. So on a date, you got to go, hey, there's certain questions you should be asking. Number one, who is he, the Holy Spirit, as a person? We're going to talk about that. Number two, what does he do? How does he operate? And number three, the most important one, what is he interested in? What is his heart? What makes God's heart tick? So first of all, the Holy Spirit, he is a person. He's not just a power, but he does bring power. He's not an experience or an influence. He's not this mystical cloud or tingly feeling during worship. He's not an it. He's not a dove. And he's not the girly Godhead either. There's some interesting representations we've had out there. But hey, here's for creative liberties. Okay? He is the third equal person of the Holy Trinity, the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One times one times one equals one. So we have one God in three persons. So think about this. How many people remember next to nothing about chemistry? But we remember water. What is the molecular structure of water represented as? H2O. Good old, high quality, good old H2O. We'll leave it at that. Okay. So I want you to think about this. So water has three forms, right? Water, it's a solid when it's really cold. It's a liquid when it's kind of room temperature, right? And it's a gas when it's really hot outside. All right, so we have water in three form. It has the same molecular structure. It never changes. God is always God, is always God, is always God, right? But it manifests in three different forms. He manifests in three different forms, or three different expressions, three persons. So the, let me think here. They all have, every part of the Godhead has a unique function and role and attributes. So God the Father, he's the Father. Right? He is this protector. He's a provider. He is the God of justice. He's like Big Papa. How many people like appreciate Big Papa? Big Papa God having your back. Got a big dad. How many people like, I like having a tough dad. You know, he's got your back. Jesus, he's at the, okay, and Father God's up in the throne. We have Jesus. He is sitting to the right hand of the throne in heaven. He's Big Brother. He's healer, and we could talk about him for 45 more minutes or 10 years. And the next person is Holy Spirit. And where is Holy Spirit currently residing? Inside us. He's actually referenced in the Bible as the Spirit of Christ Jesus. So when we ask Jesus into our heart, we're actually asking the representation of the Godhead through the Holy Spirit into our heart. Amen? Once again, most ignored and misrepresented person in church. People feel really comfortable talking about Jesus all the time. If you had a negative relationship with your natural father, sometimes Father God is a little hard for you to navigate. Holy Spirit, people are like, I don't know. It's like that tingly thing that makes people ask, they do weird stuff. I don't know. And that's why we often reject him. How many people got rejected for prom twice besides me? How many people were dumb enough to ask the same person? This girl right here. It was hilarious. Okay. Youth group days. I'm laughing here. All right. So why do we reject him? We're sometimes scared of the effects he might have, right? We might be scared of being weird or undignified, but maybe us stuffy control freaks might need a little bit of that sometimes. Why do people do goofy things at parties? You know, people like dress up and be good. Why? Because they just want an excuse to be free, right? Now, I'm not always saying that's a good thing and it can cause a little damage, but I want to tell you this. Holy Spirit is not weird. Weird people make Holy Spirit weird. But he's extra. This is a term with the kids people use. You know, they're a little extra. Okay, Holy Spirit is extraordinary, not in a negative context. He is extraordinary. He is blows ordinary out of the water. He's not weird. He's extraordinary. Amen. So, he is one of the most beautifully layered, glorious personalities. And I am head over heels in love with him because he is the only thing holding me together some days. And I'm my best version of myself with him overflowing. How many people are the worst version of yourself when you are not overflowing with the Holy Spirit? He makes me apologize less. I'm so glad. So John chapter 16, verse 7 in the Amplified says, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it is for the best, it is expedient, it is advantageous for you that I, Jesus, go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, now, by the way, the word Holy Spirit comes from Parakletos. It's a Greek term. And you can't literally find one word that directly translates. Okay, So we got a bunch of different words. In the Amplified Bible, it says comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. Now raise your hand if you've had a revelation of one of these roles in your life when I say it out. So comforter. Okay. Counselor. Helper. Oh my gosh, yes. Advocate, like a lawyer. An intercessor. Strengthener. Stand right by your side. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. So this word another comes from another Greek word, which we'll spare you for pronunciation. My dad was really good at that. So think about this. So here's Jesus and here's what people represent him as, an orange. Holy Spirit's like totally different ball of wax. It's not. It actually means another of the same kind. So when Jesus left, he said, I'm the apple. I'm not giving you an orange for an apple. I'm giving you another apple. Apples for apples, right? So another of the same kind. He is just like Jesus. Remember how Jesus says, hey, you guys who did not understand my Father's heart, I am just like him. He brought clarity. So he was paving the way for clarity on who the Holy Spirit is. So this word parakletos, actually one really good translation means one called very close along your side. Margie, come on up here. Not little Margie, but Margie who is my age. Okay, so Margie, so if you're Holy Spirit, you're called very close alongside. We do life together very close alongside. The Holy Spirit is called along your side to do life with you very close along your side. Thank you. All right. So another term that is a really good translation is a supplier. He's got all you need. Strength. How many people need strength? Oh my goodness. He's a coach. How many people had a great coach that impacted your life in high school or college? Okay. A lawyer, an advocate, a counselor. These are interchangeable words of this word parakletos 2,000 years ago. So a really good translation would be one that specializes in your case and takes up your cause to win. How many people need someone like that to walk very close along your side in life? It's like having a lawyer on retainer for all of our dumb decisions, okay? Another way of saying it is the Holy Spirit is permanently called very closely along each of our sides to provide coaching, direction, instruction, and counsel in life. So what is the fullness of his person? We start seeing the fullness right now coming out, right? The fullness of his person. So we're going to talk about what he does. So what he does, my favorite analogy is this. We're going to talk about Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and in the New, because his role was a little bit different. So the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, imagine this cup. It's an upside down cup. Okay. The Holy Spirit came upon prophets, priests, and kings. God would pick a designated leader or voice, just a couple per generation. Of the billions of people, who knows how many were in the world like thousands of years ago, God was speaking through a couple of them. How many people think that is a bum deal? I do. We got this thing called a better deal. Jesus came to turn the world upside down, right? Amen? Prophets, priests, and kings. And then all of a sudden, there was 400 years of silence. How many people just go like radio silence? People trying to talk to God. Really stinks to be in that 400 years, right? And then John the Baptist came. World turned upside down when Jesus came, right? And then in the New Testament, we all have access to one Holy Spirit. And he came to... Keeps going. Why? Because we are meant to overflow in the world around us. Now, I had an experience last week. I got one of those styrofoam cups. How many people hate styrofoam? It just feels weird. And I had a styrofoam cup and I was drinking water and I stuck it on the office desk next to a stack of papers. What I didn't realize is there was a tiny little hole I couldn't even see. And 2 hours later, my papers were wet. Why? Because sometimes our cups leak. Pressures of life cause leakage. How many people? You fill up on Sunday, and Sunday happens, and maybe the drive home happens, or Monday hits you like a truck to your face, and we start leaking, which is why we need to stay filled. Amen? How many people? It is an effort to stay fulfilled. The Bible says this in Ephesians. It says, be being filled. That's actually the direct translation. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. So where are we at here? Okay. So the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not just you hold him, but is to overflow into the world around you. Sounds like a better plan, right? New covenant, better deal. All right. So Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says this, for the promises of the Holy Spirit is to you, everybody go me, your children, say my children, and to all that are afar off. All. So every person is called. Jesus died on the cross for so many things, man, and gave us the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we just think it's for the hyper-spiritual weirdo in church. It's actually for all of us. Remember, Holy Spirit does not make you weird. Weird people make them weird. It's okay. All right. So where is he now? We talked about he's a permanent resident in us. And I want to talk about two separate experiences that we instantly receive when we ask. The first one we talked about is salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave and he's alive and I give my life to him, I am saved. I am born again. And that's what water baptism represents, a natural, it represents in the natural what happened in the spirit. Okay. Now the separate experience, everybody flip to your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and put a bookmark in there because it's one of my best examples about the separate experience of the Holy Spirit. Now I don't have time to teach it. There's probably about 5 really good examples where sometimes you get the two at the same time, but there's a manifestation of tongues. So you know what happens. By the way, next week we're going to, it's called my message is untying tongues. I will cover the 4 different kinds of tongues and it will be super clear and you'll be able to explain it to everyone. Okay. And use them in the right context, but we don't have time today. But Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. We're going to speed through this for the sake of time. Philip went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. And many evil spirits were cast out. And then it starts describing a revival. Signs, wonders, miracles, healings. It's awesome. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. Okay, this sounds really exciting. And so there was great joy in the city. So they heard about Jesus, they received Jesus, and revival broke out. Signs, wonders, miracles. Incredible. Okay. So Philip had a revival. People were born again. Now go ahead and read verse 14 through 17. Go back and study this. By the way, you didn't just take an Uber to the next town back then. You didn't just drive yourself. So if you travel to another city, this is like a major commitment. So Philip has a revival in the city and like the good news spreads to Jerusalem. So it's like kind of York to Lancaster. So revival's happening. Lancaster gets back to the church in York and the church leaders are like, whoa, what up going over there? And so Acts chapter 8, 14 through 17 says this, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. So that's kind of an important deal. If we're walking from York to Lancaster. All right. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So then Peter and John laid their hands upon the believers and they received the Holy Spirit. So we have 2 separate experiences going on. I don't have time to teach it, but in the story of Cornelius, there's a reason why the 2 things happened at the same time, but you actually saw the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit in tongues. We'll talk about it next week. All right. So the evidence or the infilling of the Holy Spirit was so powerful that Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. That's another story. So like it was so powerful on top of all the signs, wonders, and the miracles that were already going on. The infilling of the Holy Spirit supercharged things that he wanted to buy it. So remember this, upon salvation, we receive a portion of the Holy Spirit in us, right? The Spirit of Christ Jesus lives in us. Do you, when you get born again, do you have Holy Spirit in you? Yes. This portion, he's in here. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about this, is giving God access, saying, hey, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get, and I'm giving you full access to my life. You get to consume every part of me. You follow? Okay. Where do I want to go here? So let me think about this. I want all of God that I can get. So it'd be like taking, how many people love pie? My dad loved cherry pie. I like all fruit pies. It'd be like taking a pie out of the box, taking one bite, putting pie back in the box. How many people want to eat all the pie besides myself? Yes. Okay. So I want all the pie I can get. I want all of the Holy Spirit I can get in my life. He fills every nook and cranny of your life that you give him access to. How many people know as Christians that we limit the access of the Holy Spirit to our life? He is a gentleman. He will take as much room as you give him. But I like the whole Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. He fills me all in all. Amen? So some of the roles of the Holy Spirit, write these down. Number one role, he is the comforter and he is the strengthener. Wycliffe's translation of the term comforter, they actually use interchangeably with comforter and strengthener. Because remember, parakletos, too many different words to translate. So they just kind of try to tie in as many as they can. So the word comforter actually comes from the Latin word fortress. How many people know that there is nothing pansy about a fortress? Okay. So this word comforter also can translate to brave, strong, courageous, fearless, lion-hearted. Does not sound girly to me. How many people want lion-hearted Holy Spirit to make us lion-hearted, tough? This word also translates to mean like a warrior goes to meet challenges with such strength that it defies all the odds. In the book of Judges, God came upon Gideon, Judges chapter 6. Gideon was, here, James, come on up here. Gideon was a really great guy, but he was kind of like hiding from the fight. How many people have ever hidden from a fight in your life besides me? Okay. And God, it says this, he clothed, go ahead, stick this on. Holy Spirit clothed Gideon with himself, wrapped him up until he became a courageous warrior leader to lead a whole different generation. That is my bathrobe. You're welcome. Okay. So Holy Spirit, it actually translates in Judges chapter 6, I think it's verse 34. Holy Spirit smeared himself all over this man of God, Gideon, and transformed him into something bold and courageous and lion-hearted, not the coward hiding in the wine press. Okay, you can take that off. Thanks, James. All right. Yeah, that's good. So it's a coating of strength. It's like getting a comforter blanket out of the dryer. Right when you came in from like a really hard day's work and you're getting the freezing mist in the air because the weather doesn't know what it wants to do and you're chilled to the bone, Holy Spirit strengthens you and comforts you, wraps himself around you. My dad's funeral, I had never spoken to adults before. I'd just hidden in youth ministry for a really long time. And the very first time I ever spoke to adults was at my father's funeral. There were like 800 people there. And I had just been diagnosed for the first time in my life with strep throat. Felt terrible. I'm already dealing this emotional mess. All my siblings were a train wreck. And And I felt the Holy Spirit coat himself over me with supernatural strength. And in the midst of grief and physical sickness, all the symptoms left. And joy came in me. It didn't make any sense. That's Holy Spirit. Amen. Second one, he affirms our adoption into God's family. So the power of adoption is this. Now, if anybody understands, sometimes we've adopted through our family. Mike and Mandy have adopted two of my nieces. I love them so much. Bananas. And, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes when we've been adopted, Satan messes with our head because we don't really think they love us as much. So the Holy Spirit confirms our adoption into God's family and gets Satan out of your head saying, I am born again. I am saved. God the Father loves me just as much as he loves everyone else. And a scripture for that is Romans chapter 8, 14 through 16. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, which means Daddy God. For his Spirit joins with our spirits to affirm, to witness, to testify that we are God's children. So I sometimes have teenagers that are starting to doubt if they're really born again, if they're really saved, starts messing in their head. Maybe it was just some weird prayer, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you start getting stirred up in the Holy Spirit, he will affirm that heart adoption. I am loved. I am beloved by Abba Father, Daddy God, reveals that deep, intimate adoption love to us. So if you have someone that's wrestling, am I really saved? Does God really love me? Really good time to get filled with the Holy Spirit or stir yourself up with that infilling. The next one, he teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26 says this, when the Father sends the advocate, the helper, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. He lights up our heart with revelation of the knowledge not only of his word. He brings words that people have spoken over our life that God was speaking through someone else to us, to our remembrance. Because we know Satan does a really good job of bringing the bad stuff to our remembrance, right? Holy Spirit brings the good God stuff, also brings the word of God that we have hidden in our heart in the Bible. And he also tells you where your keys are. How many people go, God, I can't find something. God goes, your keys are in the oven. Thank you. I get flashes. I lose things all the time. And I'm like, Lord, where did I put it? And if I get really quiet in my heart, spend time with me, he'll just kind of show me where it is. So he teaches us. He shows us. He lights up our path. He guides us. Write down, he guides us. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this. When he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth, nothing but truth. So think about this. The Bible is your roadmap. The Holy Spirit is the voice of your GPS. How many people love your GPS? Because he will reroute you out of any bad decision you've ever made if you tune in with him. How many people have made a wrong turn in life And you get quiet, get on your face, go, oh God, help me, get me back on track. And he will just reroute you. He will also guide you through the revelation truth of the Word of God. Really good examples of this, when I was trying to figure out what college I should go to, I remember actually walking on the campus of Oral Roberts University, and I had never heard of it before until that day. We were randomly in town for a conference, and I remember literally walking over this bridge, and all of a sudden, something came alive in my heart, and it just felt like home. I'm home. I didn't hear an audible voice, but the Holy Spirit revealed a direction that I went, this is where I'm supposed to be. God will do this in churches. If you're looking for a church, you'll walk through the doors and you don't like the carpet. The greeter gave you a weird stink eye because they were tired. No one sat beside you. You didn't like the music, and you will sit down and go, oh, I'm home, huh? Okay. He will reveal it to your heart. How many people the Lord has revealed something to do to you, even or for you to do, but you didn't really want to do it, but you tuned in and said, you're home now. This is where you're supposed to be. He revealed things to you. I remember when I woke up from a nap and I was thinking about what I should do after college, and I literally heard an audible internal voice that was not originated with me, and I heard, you're going to go to Raymond. I went, God, come on. That's not even the cool one. I wanted to go to the cool Bible school. Sorry, Raymond, if you're listening to this, I really appreciate you. I love you. But there were some other colleges, Bible school programs that I wanted to do, and God went, nope, that's where you're supposed to be. It's a 2-year program. I fought my way through the first year and a half until I finally surrendered to Jesus, okay? So listen, if we can tune in, if we're flesh ruled, we'll totally make all of our decisions based on our emotions, which are really easy to manipulate by Satan, right? So we tune in to his voice. Okay, next one. He is the ultimate communicator, giving us access to God. I need 3 quick volunteers. Lane, you're Big Papa God because you're just a big papa. All right, I need a Jesus. Come on up, James. Stand next to him. All right, and go stand on those chairs there. If we break them, we have extras. Okay, so we got Jesus and God the Father up in heaven. Go ahead, stand on those chairs. And Marge, because you're just sitting in the perfect place, I'm going to keep using you. It's because, look, it's the perfect thing. You are us down here in heaven, or excuse me, down here on earth. Okay, old school people remember playing telephone? Okay, so we got the cup. So this is you, and you're like trying to talk to the Lord and get some answers and direction for your life. And you're talking. So God the Father and Jesus talking to you. Holy Spirit is this. He is that divine communicator. He is the cord that connects us to the throne room in heaven. All right. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. You can just throw on the chair over there. All right. So that's found in Ephesians 2:18. For it is through him, Jesus, that we both have an introduction, access to the Father by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach him. That is the Holy Spirit's role. Our direct line of communication to the throne room. And I think this is our last one. He empowers us. Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says this. Jesus urgently instructs his disciples. Now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. These are the last most important words. In movies, the most important part of the character is their last words, right? Thor went back up to wherever Thor was from, and his last parting words are super important. Or like, you know, the deathbed of the daddy. Last words are really important, right? They mark you. How many people have caught the last words of a dear loved one? Impacts your life. Jesus saved some of his last final departing words. The most vital ones were actually a command. He gave you instructions. He says this, get filled with the Holy Spirit because you need this power. Why do we need this power? Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. You will be my witnesses to me in your workplace, in York, in Pennsylvania, in the United States, and to all the world. We need him. We need him. Why? I'll say this. To light up the world, you're going to need more than a AA battery flashlight. How many people, we probably need a couple nuclear power plants. Hooking up with the Holy Spirit and giving him all access to your life says, you know, the AA battery's good, God, but I want to let you be a conduit in my life to be hooked up to a nuclear power plant to light up the world. Why do we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? for the lost. If you are a lost ship, you need a very bright lighthouse to guide you to shore, right? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit brightens the light that's within us. And that's why we need to let him supercharge us. Amen? So the very last thing, and I'm going to actually, I have a longer lesson. I'm just going to hit some points on this. So can you just trust me and I don't have to read a ton of things to you right now, okay? What is Holy Spirit interested in? God has three primary interests. Everybody go three. Three primary interests are this: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The number one primary interest of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is found in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he reveals his first primary interest is in the lost. Father God gave his only begotten Son, right? John 3:16. Let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Other translations translate perish to come to destruction or be lost. God the Father wanted the lost to be found. To be found is to come into the kingdom of God of heaven on earth as his representatives. Jesus gave his own life. A death that I cannot still to this day fully grasp what he really went through. So the lost could be found. Amen? John 16 verse 7 talks about how the Holy Spirit, I have so much to read to you, but say this, explains the Holy Spirit's heart for us to be found in him. Number two, interest of God. Acts, the book of Acts reveals the second interest of the Lord, and it's to become Spirit-filled. To become Spirit-filled. Jesus, number one, preached the kingdom of God and to be Spirit-filled. John chapter 7, 37 through 39 says this: Jesus stood and shouted at the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will overflow from his heart." And when he said this, living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone who believed. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had yet to enter into his glory. So Jesus commanded his disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit to witness and for the power to reach lost. And we talked about this. We receive power to reach more lost people, right? So I don't have a lot of time to go into this. So come back next week because I want to give some time for the Holy Spirit to flow. Nevin, you can kind of gather your team up front. But we're going to have a time of worship. But I want to say this, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reach the lost. Because we're going to talk about this next week. But when the Holy Spirit broke out in Acts chapter 2, there was a sign and a wonder to the lost when they spoke in other languages. There's the language of heaven. And there's also the language of men. And it was a sign and a wonder because all of a sudden these people that didn't speak all these different languages walked out in a place like D.C., a very cosmopolitan area with tons of nationalities. And people were hearing their native tongue give praise and glory to God. It was a sign and a wonder to the lost. Peter got supercharged with the power of the Holy Spirit, who used to be a coward and preached to 3,000 people. And they got born again and got water baptized. The purpose of signs and wonders are the dinner bell to the lost. You want to see signs and wonders move in your service? I think our social club needs to get a little bit bigger, and we might have to bring some lost, hurting, broken people that have never seen the reality of God, and we may have to pop open our box and let him out. So people are like, why isn't God moving in the service? Well, he's in you. Revival starts in us, letting him out. Revival is not about the pastor having a revival. Revival is everybody in this room, heart saying, Jesus, I want all of you I can get. Lord, you died so I cannot just be born again, but I can live a part of heaven on earth through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want all of you that I can get. I want to let you out. The purpose of God's three primary interests are this. Number one, he wants to get you born again. He wants the lost to come to know him. Number two, he wants you to get supercharged with the power of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So why? You will have the power, the strength, the ability, supernatural wisdom, move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic utterances to what? Reach more lost people. His third interest is shown in the epistles. really incredible books, the rest of the book of the Bible, God's third primary interest is spiritual growth. How do we grow? How do we mature? Intimacy with God, revelation of His Word, reading the Bible, activating in these spiritual gifts. Why? So the cycle can complete and we go, God, I got born again. I got Spirit-filled so I can reach more lost people. I'm growing spiritually in these gifts. I'm letting you out of the box so I can reach more people so they can get Spirit-filled, so they can like have a revelation of you and grow in their maturity. And next thing you know, we have this thing called revival. Where does it start? In us. In us. So here's my challenge to you guys. It is time for us to adjust our lives to be about the Father's interest again. Everybody stand up here. And we're just going to, home group leaders, if you can come forward. Any home group leaders, if you can come forward at the altar and just face the congregation. We're going to open up the altar for prayer for three different things. If you have never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to lay hands on you. The Bible says to lay hands on you. And we are going to ask Holy Spirit to fill you. And there are signs and evidences and praying in your prayer language. Don't let your head get all stuck up here because sometimes we just overthink things. In fact, intellectuals normally have a little bit of a hard time praying in tongues at first because we overthink it. It's okay. A lot of my students get prayed for. They go home, they throw on some worship music, and they just stop overthinking and their prayer language will come just not in front of everybody else. So don't beat yourself up. The moment you ask to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you receive it instantly by faith, right? Just like salvation. So if you have never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, come forward. We're going to pray for you. So all my grow group leaders, I know I have some extra ones. Miss Margie and Mr. Bob, come on up. Anybody that just feels comfortable, we're just going to pray for people. Okay, the next thing is this. If you have lost your heart for the lost, if you have lost your passion to tell people about Jesus, if you're intimidated by it, what does that mean? Remember, we just leak. We asked Him to fill us up, but we're just haven't stirred ourselves up. It talks in Timothy about stir yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying, singing the Holy Spirit. It says to have elders of the church lay their hands on you to be overflowing again, right? We're going to stir ourselves up. What do you do with this water here? You pour water into it, give it a squeeze, you stir it up, and it starts overflowing. And the Bible says this, if you stopped overflowing, how do you know you have stopped overflowing? You walk past lost, broken, hurting people all the time, and you're not talking to your friends about Jesus. You're not talking to your family about Jesus. You're not talking to your neighborhood about Jesus. And you're scared about what people might think about you. How many people, even myself, struggle with that? So if you would like what we call a fresh touch overflow of the Holy Spirit, it is time to get back to the Father's interest. And I ask us to repent. Repent means to God, forgive me, and I'm going to make an effort to turn in the opposite direction and stir myself up through the Word and prayer and gathering together with other believers. So my passion for you, my love for you is so big that I cannot contain it anymore. Like Jeremiah is a fire in my bones. And no one in my family or my neighborhood is going to hell on my watch. It is time to get our hearts right. Would you be humble enough to say, even myself as a pastor, we get buried in things. Stress. We got to pay the bills. We got to feed our kids. We got to get everybody to soccer practice. But if we stir ourselves up in the Holy Spirit every day, you will naturally overflow to telling people about Jesus. I need to be being continually filled with the Holy Spirit so the lost may be found. And so I also will have fulfillment in my purpose, because if you're bored in church, we just aren't really filled with Him. Am I real? Am I honest with that? Amen. So if you are in any of those two categories, come on up. Going to lay hands on you. This is not an emotional experience. This is called, if I am not thinking continually about lost and hurting people and I'm walking past them, I have put Him in the box again in my life. I have compartmentalized Him, and it's time to let Him out, if not for me, for everyone else in my life. So if that's you, come on forward. It's not going to be like a big emotional experience. We're going to pray for you and we're going to get stirred up. Thank you, Jesus. So if you've never received if you've never asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you, come forward. If you've never actually spoken in your prayer language, come on forward.
We'll pray for you. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you put him in the box because your passion for the lost has just dwindled or died, come forward. We're going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you this. Thank you, Jesus. If I could have Uncle Jim come forward, your girl group leader, if you could lay hands on him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up. Let's see. Scott, any other girl group leaders here? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've never had a manifestation, the evidence of your prayer language, and you'd like that, remember, it's our choice to keep the lid on the box so you can actually choose not to pray in tongues. But if you'd like that, all you have to do, and you just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I want all of you that I can get. Thank you for my prayer language. And in that moment, we've received by faith. It's not a feeling. It's not a tingle. It's not an experience. He is a gentleman. He doesn't do stuff. But in those moments, our voice is like a wind instrument. If you've ever played the clarinet or the tuba or anything like that, you have to blow air through the mouthpiece and move the mouthpiece and you get a sound. How many parents know the first time your kid ever talked, you don't care what they say and it does sound silly. You're just so excited they're talking. How many big papas out there, the first time their kid goes da 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 da, your heart wells, my kid's talking. That is oftentimes how our prayer language manifests. It's just a symbol. It's a humility thing. And you may just say da 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 for 6 months until it comes forward. But God will build just like a kid. God says this, we have to come to him like a child. Childlike faith. So if you pray in your prayer language, and like I said, we're not going to make this like a circus thing. If you want to just stir yourselves up and pray quietly to yourself in your prayer language, if you want to stir yourself in your seat, sing a spiritual song to him. We're going to worship him. Nevin's going to lead us in a song. And I say this, if you haven't prayed in your prayer language in a long time, he's in you. It's time to blow some air through your lips and let him out. And just say, Holy Spirit, I thank you for refilling and overflowing out of my life. Let's worship him in spirit and truth. So let's stand up and let's just worship him with all of our hearts. And if you need to make a heart adjustment to get your life back oriented for the lost, I think now's a good time to do it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, still my heart, let your voice be all I hear. Now, fix my eyes on the things that I can't see. Now, Spirit, breathe like the wind, come have your way.
If the Lord is stirring in your heart and you have a prophetic word for someone in this room to build them up, to encourage them, to comfort them, we're going to talk about that next week. I release you. Go ahead. You can share that in love for someone else. You may get a picture in your heart, a word. It could be a scripture. It could be a thought. This is a safe place and family to step out and practice those things.
Let me hear your voice. Fix my eyes on the things.